In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Last Sunday we celebrated the baptism of Jesus, and it gives us some very good topics and texts for the theme of our meditation in this evening of recollection. There are really two themes that we can well combine, which are apostolate and charity. Apostolate is that task of ours, a kind of mission, that we are sent by Christ. He was sent by the Father into the world to redeem the world and to give the good news and to teach. And he said to his disciples that as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We are disciples of Christ, and we also receive that call. Just through our baptism, in fact, we have an apostolic vocation. We have a call from God to share that which we have received from God. And charity, of course, is that highest of all virtues, the highest teaching, the first and greatest commandment: love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourselves. Well, in a sense, those two things, apostolate and charity, go together and belong together, because one of the ways in which we love others is precisely sharing that good which we have received. But let's go to some of the texts about the baptism of Jesus, and we'll see how many of these things here are relevant to us and speak to us. In Matthew's Gospel, for example, if we take chapter 3, we hear that in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, actually the original word, well, we don't know what word he used in Aramaic, probably. The word in Greek is open to many interpretations, and we might say that, at least highlight the fact that it's not just repent because you're a great sinner, like feel shame. No, that's not the point. It might be translated more freely as be renewed in your thoughts, in your mind, in your attitude in life. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means the presence of God is near. What John the Baptist is referring to is, of course, the coming of Christ, the presence of the eternal Son of God who has become man, the fact that we celebrated very recently in Christmas, and he is now walking among you. He is very close by, and he is coming. He's just about to begin his public life. Therefore, repent, or be renewed in your thoughts, in your mind, in your way of life. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist had received a very special vocation from God, a special call to prepare the coming of the Lord, to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord so that they would be more receptive. And as we are doing our prayer, our meditation, it means we are trying to direct our minds and hearts to God, listening to some texts of the Bible, and the priest is giving you some ideas that can feed your personal thoughts and reflections. One of the first things we can see here is that John the Baptist is a great model for us. We might say the first model of apostolate, preparing others to receive God into their lives, to receive Christ into their hearts. And we might say, Jesus, what can I do? How can I help others in this preparing their hearts? And maybe one thought that may come to us is that, well, actually, we have to do it ourselves too. First, our own. One of the most important ways in which we help others is by taking care of these things ourselves. And that's why we pray. And that's why all apostolate and all deeds of charity have their roots in our personal relationship with God, our own relationship with God. By directing ourselves to God, now here also Jesus present in the tabernacle, in the Blessed Sacrament, we open ourselves to Jesus, and we can say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to make space for you. I want to prepare the way for you, make your path straight. I want to be renewed in my thoughts, in my mind, in my attitude in life. And Jesus, you who know me and you know everyone very well, because in your divine wisdom you see the interior of every person, you know how much I need it. You know how much I need it even every day to be renewed. And that's why I try to pray every day. Sometimes I enjoy it more. Other times I feel less inclined to do prayer. Sometimes I may feel a great reluctance to it, or sometimes I just find it very difficult. All of that is perfectly fine. I give it a try. I persevere in that resolution. Prepare my heart for God. And that way prepare myself for helping others. We might sometimes think that this kind of image of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, repent and so on, that it's somehow outmoded, that it's outdated, that it's not convenient to speak like that. We maybe imagine someone like in London there's the famous speaker's corner where all kinds of wackos go preaching their stuff, you know, whatever, and sometimes all kinds of crazy speeches, and maybe some of them very good. Others, you wonder where they came from. And then you think, well, preachers are like that. Well, the deeper message is always relevant. And people need it. There's so many people around us, maybe they don't need that we say, you repent, you sinner. No, maybe that's not the message they need. But they need encouragement, they need advice, they need light, they need someone who even talks about God in some way. Maybe not the first thing we talk to the people we meet, but let's have that courage of sharing what we have. Sometimes we help people in very human things, human virtues, learning to live better. There are some people who need that kind of preparation, making his path straight by helping them morally, giving them guidance, encouragement, helping them to grow in confidence in themselves, whatever. sometimes helping them to be more respectful of others, and so on. John the Baptist is our first teacher. But then comes another scene here. After John had been preaching, there are all kinds of people who come to him. And finally, Jesus himself. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. As in, John the Baptist wondered why he would baptize Christ himself, because he was baptizing with water for repentance. And he had said that one is coming, Jesus himself, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But Jesus, in his great humility, wants to be a model for us also in baptism. He goes down to the water in the river, and the baptism means that he went down completely in his body, his head, everything inside the water. And then St. Matthew writes, when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This brief text has so many pointers of different themes. There's the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the first time really in all history, clearly revealed. The Father in the voice from heaven, the Son incarnate in the flesh, appearing as a human being, because he has taken upon himself the human nature, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove, taking some kind of a physical appearance also, so as to be manifest for the people. It's a great mystery, but here maybe the interesting thing is the other aspect of this event, divine filiation. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Of course, the baptism of Jesus is a model of our baptism. And well, there are many things we could say about our baptism, but I just want to focus on this, that in baptism, Jesus gives us also the gift of the Holy Spirit, who purifies us from our sins, who incorporates us to Christ, makes us members of the mystical body of Christ, and makes us children of God, turns us into sons and daughters of God also. That's why sometimes you may hear, or maybe you remember hearing some sermons when the Mass, the priest after the Gospel reading says, "Sit down," and he says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ," or a phrase like that. Maybe you remember that hearing sometimes. "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ." And you might have wondered, what a strange way of saluting me, like, brothers and sisters in Christ. But what he refers to is this, that we are brothers and sisters among ourselves because we are God's sons and daughters, adopted by God, made into God's children, turned into God's children by God's initiative. He wants that. Let's just for a moment marvel at that reality, that we don't just call ourselves God's children because we find it nice. Of course, it's a beautiful thing to say, but I remember when a long time ago when I was baptized myself as an adult in my case, and I often heard about like divine filiation or we are God's children. And I thought it's a very beautiful thing to say, but it took me a long time to understand, well, why we actually say that. What is the basis of it? And here it is. Here, among other things, God wants to treat us like his children. He wants to make us his children. He wants to incorporate us into his Son, the eternal Son with whom he is well pleased. Of course, all sorts of things flow from this. All sorts of things follow from this awareness of our divine filiation. And one of the things that flows from this, at least, is the sense of fraternity with others. Maybe you know, maybe you have read that the Pope Francis recently published an encyclical letter called, in Italian, Fratelli Tutti, All Brothers. And also in his Christmas speech on Christmas Day, he again referred to this idea that because God has, as God the Father, has sent his Son among us as a human being, taking human nature without losing his divinity, but being fully God and fully man in the person of Christ, he has provided that path for us to become divinized, to be raised, to become God's sons and daughters. And there the Pope highlighted the fact that then as a result we are brothers, fratelli tutti, brothers and sisters. And of course, that should influence the way we treat others. It should, we should not, it's not just that we should not take it for granted, but we shouldn't just kind of consider it as some possession of ours, as in that it gives me confidence in life, yes, very good. That it gives me a sense of kind of a very healthy and profound sense of self-esteem, yes, very good if that happens. That's very good. We should have a profound and deep sense of self-esteem because God loves us as the best of fathers, regardless of what we do, just because he wants to, because he is good. But he wants it also to kind of overflow into our relationships with others, because he is, and he wants to be a brother, a father to everyone. And Jesus, you want to be a brother to everyone, to every human being. That's why charity, this not kind of an emotional love, but this active interest and care in other people and taking care of them and treating them, trying to treat them as they would like, as we ourselves would like others to treat us. Of course, all of that follows naturally, necessarily. God has made us his children as one family. So let's ask God for help to live as such, in the way this little book by Saint Jose Maria, there's one chapter on charity that provides us with some pointers of how we can grow in charity. I'm not going to read all. There are many, many points here. One of the first ones refers to our thoughts. And it's quite interesting because we considered these words of John the Baptist, repent, which I translated freely as be renewed in your mind, in your thoughts. So here Saint Jose Maria writes, never think badly of anyone, not even if the words or conduct of the person in question give you good grounds for doing so. Not even so. And Lord, how easily we think badly of other people, even if their words or conduct don't really give good grounds for doing so, but just because we don't like that person, or he or she has done something that didn't fit our plans, or they had a different taste, and whatever. I mean, we wanted to watch, you know, some Marvel movie, and they wanted to watch this boring drama, or whatever, and all kinds of things can make us kind of angry and critical. But here, Saint Jose Maria invites us to raise the bar. Never think badly of anyone, even if the words or conduct of the person in question give you good grounds for doing so. Now, of course, how can we put this into practice? Well, it's not enough to just, okay, I'll try not to think badly. I should try to think goodly, positively. And that's actually included in those words of Jesus, do to others as you would like others do to you, right? How would we like others to think about us? Well, I'm sure we all would like that. Even in those cases where we really deserve criticism, we would like others to think well of us, or an excuse for us, make an excuse for us and be merciful, understanding. And one way of fostering this mercifulness in our thoughts is to actively think well of others. Sometimes to pause to think and pray for a person, and then pause to think, what good qualities does he or she have? What good features of personality that I can learn from? If we pause to think like that, we will quickly realize that we people have all sorts of beautiful things in their life. And of course, it's also that they are just human beings, and that already is a great thing. But even beyond that, we can actually admire all kinds of people, at least in some respects. Don't make negative criticism if you can't praise, say nothing. Wow. It's not so easy to live that way, but it's very helpful. Gossip is trash that soils and hinders the apostolate. It goes against charity, takes away strength, takes away peace, and makes one lose his union with God. I read accidentally a piece of news, maybe it was today, about some city in the Philippines, and the local council and the mayor, they had created a local law that prohibited gossiping. And there was a fine, $2 or $3 Philippine dollars, I don't know how much that is, but for gossiping. I thought, well, that's funny. I don't know how they put it into practice, but it was quite interesting, the article, because there was a quotation from the mayor explaining that, well, they had recently had many legal disputes about some silly things where all kinds of people, family members, neighbors, and so on had been involved, and they were absurd things. And then the local council tried to somehow, like, let's try to foster a different kind of culture. Well, of course, a criminal law is not maybe the best way, but yeah, indeed. If you have so many defects, why are you surprised to find defects in others? And that's a great point also. Very often we become more understanding with others when we truly remember our own defects. we kind of acknowledge, we fully acknowledge that we are not perfect. We want to grow in charity, Lord, but before we finish, let's just quickly take a few steps in our consideration also of this active reaching out to others. There are many ways in which we can reach out to others, and Pope Francis in his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, he gives all kinds of ideas about caring for others, taking care of others, being active, helping the poor, people in need, and so on. And all of that is very good. Nevertheless, we don't have to look only for like people in material need. And I think Pope Francis refers to this also, because there are people in spiritual need. Even in the midst of great wealth and material well-being, we are surrounded by people with spiritual needs. And sometimes we need that courage of reaching out to them, even if they don't ask for help. There's that one thought, again in the way, which uses that funny expression, holy shamelessness. If you have holy shamelessness, you won't be bothered by the thought of what people have said or what they will say. He's referring to the fact that we should have that courage, in that kind of self-confidence of a child of God who is not thinking about what others will think about us if we are religious, or if we are pious, and we pray, and we read about God, and we talk about God. And we shouldn't care about that human respect that the world is so concerned with. And in fact, if we are more courageous in the way we are and showing what we value, actually people will respect us more, even a lot more, especially when they see that we are cheerful, we are natural about our faith. That is the consequence of really living out this divine filiation, being truly aware that we are God's children. So let's finish our prayer asking God and asking Our Lady also to help us in growing in this sense of divine filiation, which makes us reach out to others and practice charity with everyone, because they are and are called to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.